That I just met a few weeks ago. Her name is Kelly Ambrose, and it was kind of interesting. I was up at North Bradley for the Wednesday night service, and Kelly came as, did you come in as invitation to the Hamptons? They invited you to come? Okay. So there's another family up there. She and they invited Kelly to come, and Kelly began to share a little bit, just a little thumbnail of what she's doing. She's headed to Africa in October, and so we met, and we had the rest of whatever we were doing that evening, and then as I'm driving home, God kept saying to me, you need to call her and invite her to come so she can tell her story to us, but that we might also participate in helping send her there. And again, this is one of those dumb ideas, God. We don't have any money. And God said, just do what I'm asking you to do. Stop arguing with me and call her back. So I did. Kelly, if you would come up here. Kelly's going to share a little bit of her story, where she has been, what brought her to this spot of responding to what God is inviting her. So just kind of a very cool journey that she's been on. Kelly, share your heart with us. You can use that right there.
All right. Well, just see. Okay, that'll be good. Would you pray with me, please? So, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for being present with us. I pray that your spirit would just fall upon us now, that it would be you speaking through me, that you would give me what this body of believers needs to hear to just fill them up, Lord, that they may go out in their weeks walking in your blessing. Amen. Oh, if you would turn in your Bibles with me, I just wanted to share. Can you guys hear me okay? It's a little mic. I wasn't sure. At first I thought, is there a mic there? But it's a baby one. Okay. Good. Because I have a quiet voice, kind of. But in Hebrews, way in the back of the Bible, chapter 12, there's a lot of verses that God's been putting on my heart, but this is one I felt for right now. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll start in verse 1. Says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Wow. I was just getting so overwhelmed with his love. There's a lot of you that come here today with hurt. I had cancer, and I'm going to share a little bit on that. But I think all of us here could probably raise our hands and say, yes, I either had cancer, I know someone who's going through it, I know someone who's died from it. But it's something that it's hard, and I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you and say that it isn't. And my heart goes out to all of you. There's joy in being a believer, but there's also, Jesus had to go to the cross for us. In the place of finding hope, the place when I was sick, was going and seeing Jesus on the cross and knowing my Savior suffered, and he isn't leaving me alone right now, but I can see him there and know that he went through that moment, and I am going through the moment of either getting a bone marrow, whatever they're doing, having things drilled into me, having these poisonous drugs that are going to make me better but are still causing my body to die at the same time, losing my hair, feeling like I was ran over by a semi, and just having to give up everything. But God is still good. God is still good. Jesus didn't stay on the cross. Jesus rose again. And I received some sermons from a girl at the other Church of God, Autumn. And Otto Koning is a missionary, or was in Papua New Guinea. And I've been listening to his series, and he talks about, yes, we are called to pray, to, hold each other up in prayer. There's in this world, there will be trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world, Jesus said. So we are called to pray, but we are also called to rejoice and to surrender, to give those things up to God and know, God, you are good. You are good. I'm going to hand this over to you and know that however you act in this situation, that you are still in control. I know I met a lot of people along the way. I was 20 when I was diagnosed, and I went down. I did 6 months of chemo up here at Bay Med, and then a month of radiation down in Texas at MD Anderson. And when I was in Texas, being 20, most of the people in the hospital were a great deal older than myself, and I was just praying for a friend, and I saw another young girl, and she happened to have the same thing as me, and we started our treatment the same day, but unfortunately hers had progressed and was a little more severe, I guess you could say, and she was a strong believer. She had a beautiful heart, and we would pray together, had ice cream together, you know, and just kind of walk the road together. And as I went back to Michigan and she stayed in Texas, you know, I was just able to pray for her, but she went to be with the Lord a good year after I met her. And it's hard to understand, why do those kind of things have to happen? You know, she believed, why couldn't she be healed? But when I was sick, God told me, and he just showed me in his word, that you know, sometimes we're kind of in the process of restoration. And all of us, whether it's cancer or another disease, diabetes, MS, maybe, you know, a lot of our teenagers struggle with suicide and just cutting and all of these things that we're like, where is this all coming from? But we all have something, some kind of cancer, some kind of sin. And God is restoring that, and if it's not restored here in this world, it's going to be restored when we're united with him. And that's the promise of the word of God, that we're going to be restored and united with him. Our home is not here. Yeah, I grew up in Auburn, 1147 Townline Road. That's my home, but it's not. I have this body right now, but, like, you know, I have scars on it and stuff in it. We're all going to be restored, and we can rejoice in that. So when I say what Otto Koning said, to rejoice and surrender, you can see where he's saying that from. I could choose to stir around and be in the storm, like when the disciples were out on the boat in the storm. They were like, Jesus, Jesus, what's going on, you know? And Jesus was sleeping in the boat. Jesus was sleeping in the storm. He calls us to be like him. He calls us to follow his example. If he was sleeping in the boat, I'd say that's a place of surrender. So, I was reading a book this last year, and it talked about, it was called The Beautiful One, and it has different excerpts from different female authors. And one of them, her name is Heidi Baker, and it was just really filling me up and showing me who God says I am. There's so much in our world that would tell us that we're unworthy, that we're unlovable, that we have to do something to earn our worth, that we're who other people say about us, who our parents said we were, even if they didn't mean to, you know? Like, there are just things that happen in life that put this title on us. And that's, I'm coming to find, you can look at it through just a worldly lens, but I'm coming to find that those things that get connected to us are really the voice of the enemy sneaking in and trying to make us believe something about ourselves that isn't true. And it's our job to renew our minds. We can't be in control of situations, but the Bible does say to take captive every thought and to make it obedient to God. And so in something the Lord has been doing in me is showing me who I am. I had this situation 5 years ago with cancer, and that kind of brought me to a place of seeing okay, what my parents told me growing up is true, and now it's being applied to my life. And then I'm 26 now, the last 5-6 years, he's just been taking me deeper, because that's how he does things. He's a good teacher, and he shows us a little bit, but then he'll come back to it and take us deeper. So he showed me I was worthy then, and now he's just been going, are you going to believe this now? I went to college at Cornerstone University to be a teacher, and I've taught in Bay City for 2 years at a charter school. And there's a lot that can come against you, and you know, especially being new in a career, wanting to do a good job, and it's just all of those thoughts, am I enough, am I this? And I am a happy person, but I was getting really depressed during my first year of teaching, wondering, they're asking me to, like, we were even helping to open the school because it was a new building they had renovated, so we were, you know, had no outlets in our classroom the weekend before school started. I think they were just putting the whiteboard in, and they were old racquetball rooms that were fixed up to be classrooms, and that was my first teaching job. And then I was told, you're going to have first, second, third graders, they're all mixed together, and we're going to rotate classes, so you'll have one group for your homeroom, one group for math, one group for English or reading time. And so it's just all of this thrown at you. Remember, there's no outlets in the classroom. They're painting and putting up the whiteboard the weekend before. And then it's, okay, welcome to your classroom, you know. We're going to be this awesome school. And they had a great vision, but it's just needing to be, you know, worked through. And so in that, though, I was just getting really, really sad. But at the same time, I was having, you know, it's so important to be connected in a church, to be connected in some kind of Bible study that's going to be feeding you. Because the one time in my life that I thought student teaching was more important than being serving, I thought I wouldn't have time to serve, is when I got to one of my lower points. And so, yeah, but one thing that I kind of learned is, like, with taking captive the thoughts, there's this thing called the 1-2-3 skidoo, and it's kind of a fun little name, but anything that you're thinking about yourself, write it down, or if you're having a hard time writing it down, like, ask someone else, tell them what's going on, and then what you do, you say, I nail, and my friend that taught me, she has a daughter who is in second grade, so we had motions that go with it, so you can do this with me if you'd like to, but so I had just a lot of inadequacy coming against myself. So I would say, I nail inadequacy to the cross. I break any ties I've made with it, knowingly or unknowingly, and I command it to go in Jesus' name. And then just taking that time in prayer, we don't always take the time to listen, and saying, Father, I ask you, what do you want to give me in its place? And being in that posture of receiving, the Lord says that he is faithful. I am his daughter. He loves me, and he's going to walk with me through that, you know? Sometimes he gives us pictures, and it's just, it's really good. So I'm kind of getting off on I don't know where I'm going, but he told me today that he was just going to lead, and it's just another part of that trust. I had a few things in my journal that I felt like I should share with you guys. Kind of hit that. But talking about when I had cancer and just seeing Jesus there, I had gone through a whole year of itchiness my sophomore year of college. And they say that 30% of people that have Hodgkin's lymphoma have itchiness as their main symptom. And so that was me. And they just kind of went through all of these things, said I had scabies, said I was just crazy and had a stress disorder. I needed to stop stressing. And I was in college and trying to go into medicine at the time. And I then switched my major to public relations and tried to kind of downsize my load a little bit. But then I was still just so itchy. I would rip my skin. I had just from my head to my toe, just itching my body, staying up all night long. I had about 30 to 50 Band-Aids on each arm, each leg, just went through boxes and boxes of Band-Aids. I'd go try and take a hot or cold shower at night to just get rid of that just itch. It's like a kind of a form of pain in a way. I'd go into ER sometimes, just asking, like, is there anything you can do? I don't know what's wrong with me. And just, you know, getting sent home with really no answer. And so after a year of that, I went in, came home from college and My mom took me to the doctor, and they did a chest x-ray, and it showed that I had a tumor growing in my medial sternum right in between the lungs and the heart. And so it wasn't sticking out at all, but it had grown to be the size of a quart jar. And I'd just been a really healthy person all my life, so like this itch was weird, and then now having this tumor identified. And a month before, I had been at U of M, and they had just said, you know, if we put you in a straitjacket for a week and cut your nails, you'd be just fine. So I'd been on this road of just this, there's no answer. But as I was on that road, the Lord was just speaking to me and just telling me, you know, I'm still here with you, you know. And he was just holding me through that. And so when it came time, like I was in the hospital, they're taking a biopsy. I was just listening. I had my Bible, my teddy bear, and just listening to worship music and just letting it kind of soak in and permeate more than it ever had. And yeah, but my lungs ended up collapsing when they took the biopsy, and I was put on a trach, and they induced a coma. And it was when I was coming out of the coma, I remember just being on morphine. You get kind of vivid pictures and things I hear, and some were kind of scary, but I could still just feel the presence of Jesus with me. And we kind of traveled around the world together, and I was like, Lord, I'll do anything, like, just kind of, you know, just help me through this. And I remember seeing, like, I had watched the movie Rwanda in college, and just seeing all of these horrible scenes, just things going on in the world. And the Lord just kind of came over. It talks in the Bible about his voice being like rushing water, and like a waterfall. And a waterfall was just there, and he was just kind of hushing me in a way, like, child, like, I love you. Like, you don't have to do anything. Just love me. And then what has really stood out these last couple years leading up to quitting my job to go to Africa was just, if you love me, you will obey me. And my sheep hear my voice, and they know my commands, and they follow me. So am I following him, and am I obeying him? Because that's a sign of my love for him. And so that's kind of how I got to where I am. And this last Easter, I just had so many horrible things going on this last Christmas time, and I joined the church choir over in Midland, and it was just in rejoicing and then singing. We had a solemn night of worship for Good Friday, and I was going back through my journal just to kind of get some insight, what to share. And I said, when I stood before the cross on Good Friday, I was reminded of the depth of your love and the price of your sacrifice, of your obedience and your heart to seek and save the lost. And that was something more he was just putting on me, like, just go, because I started looking for other jobs. There was just a lot of inconsistency in our leadership at the school, and I was feeling a little like I better have some other options just in case. And so in looking for other options, I started looking at mission websites and just hearing more, like, the voice of God just saying, and it, I never really knew, like, does God speak to us? I don't know what that sounds like, but when I write things, I can go back and I can see, like, He has been, you know, speaking, and just that little kind of voice in your head, and just telling me to go. And I was reading a book called The Circle Maker, and it talks about looking at what are the things in your life that you want. And oftentimes I was like, oh, no, it's about what you want. Like, I'm going to be a good Christian. It's not about me. It's about you. What do you want? But God was like, no, what do you want? And it just making a list. And Batterson is the one that wrote the book. He said, remember, we can do more in a decade than we think we can. And then I wrote, I feel a pull to do something crazy, and kind of how Pastor is saying, like, sometimes things don't make sense, but we do dumb things, and that, you know. So I feel a pull to do something crazy, but I need to know that I know that I know that I hear you calling. So continue to open and close doors to direct me, and may your will be done. And just knowing that, like, it's not going to be of me. I don't have to worry, like, is this God, is this me, if I am asking his desires to be my desires and his will to be done. So the author that wrote the book that was just kind of helping me see my identity, I heard through a friend that she has a mission organization in Mozambique, Africa, Iris Ministries. And so when I heard that, I was like, I have to go there. Like, I was looking at going to with Wycliffe or Mercy Ships or just, you know, YWAM, any of those things. And but when I heard that she was around and had a place, I'm like, I need to be taught by her, like, just the way the Lord was breaking my heart and stirring me and just waking me up. I know that he has more for the church. Reading about her ministry, they have seen signs and wonders. And growing up in a church where you read the word, you believe the word, but you don't believe that it's necessarily for today. The last couple years, I've kind of been traveling around the Tri-Cities visiting different churches, and God's just been showing me that he's bigger than what I made him out to be. I was telling Pastor this morning, like, I used to drive to Grand Rapids for school and come down 46 across, and I thought, okay, this is St. Louis, cute little town. But this morning I started coming down and I didn't even know. I'm like, oh, there's a river here or something. I need to go over that. Then all of these houses and everything. And I'm like, there's more to St. Louis than I knew. And there's more to God than what I've known. And so just hearing that, like, people are being healed, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the dead are being raised again. I'm like, that sounds crazy. Like, is this place legit? Like, is this somewhere I should be going? But I could tell what God was doing and the peace he was giving me that it was, you know, like, he is working this way. And in, as we're getting closer to him coming back, we're going to see more of that, you know? And so it's just really exciting, and I just want to be a part of it and see, instead of just getting, you know, kind of caught up in, before I do anything else, I was just like, it's time, you know, what do you want, with my life, you know? So I heard him telling me to go. I quit my job when I got accepted to the school, knowing that that's the place. And then I just realized that a plane ticket is a little expensive, but I knew that I had so much in my account, and it doesn't cost a whole lot to go, really. So it's just kind of been seeing, you know, what I need. But I was, you know, kind of freaking out a little bit, like, okay, I knew this is what you told me, but now you're going to have to help me. And so he's just been so faithful, and he provides more than enough. And just even when I wasn't sure if I totally believed that, just speaking it and saying it, he's provided $5,000 so I could pay for school and pay for my plane ticket. And he did that in 3 weeks, And I thought that was impossible. And so it's just, you know, I know that he's going to take care of me every step of the way. I know a lot of people might have reservations about, well, this could happen or that could happen. But, you know, if he calls us to something, he sees us through something. And when I was sick, I was at a place of saying, you know, my life is not my own. Whether I live or whether I die, like, it's okay because I have peace with the Lord. And so, not that that's what we want. Yes, I would like to get married someday. Yes, I would like to have a family someday. But the main thing in life needs to be putting Jesus first. So, so that's where I'm going and what I'm doing and how I got there. Yeah. And hopefully you enjoyed some of the pictures going behind you. So.
You told me when we were talking last week and even today, something really interesting about the ministry that you're going there and all the churches that have been planted. Tell that story, how that kind of got going
about,
with about her anointing those that were blind and what that kind of spurred.
All right. Well, Heidi Baker, she had gotten really sick when they were on the field. And so they've come over to the place in Toronto. There was just a big movement of the Holy Spirit going on there. And that's where she's received a lot of these words about what God is asking her to do. So they received the call, like, there's a guy speaking, and she came down the aisle, and he just laid hands on her and said, do you want the nation of Mozambique? And she said, yes. And she goes back to the country, and the country is experiencing, like, a whole bunch of flooding and devastation. They had, like, three floods, one after the other, and just, like, just all of these horrible things. But the Lord had given her that promise, and so she was just holding on to it, because if we abort our promises, they, you know, can't come to fruition. And another thing that somebody had told her is that, you know, you're going to be able to start healing the blind. And so she had seen somebody She said there's a lot of blind people in Africa, so it's not hard to find. And so just acting on faith in that, the Lord told me this. So I'm going, and she prayed for like 20 people, and they weren't healed at first. But she said each of them came to the Lord through her stopping to pray for them. And then the next person, she said their eyes turned from white and then started changing into this brown, and they were able to see. And she said they had kind of God's confirmation in this was that her name in Portuguese is Mama Ida, and this lady's name was also Mama Ida. And so then that afternoon, she saw another blind woman. She prayed for her. Her eyes turned from white into brown, and she could see. And her name was Mama Ida. And then the next day, one more lady, she prayed for her. Same thing, eyes turned from white to brown, and she could see. And as these people are coming to see, and her name was Mama Ida too, by the way. But as they're coming to see, their communities see this, and the whole villages just start coming to the Lord. And so there's just so many ways that God is able to move among the people that have never heard of him before. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really exciting. So.
I think what we, one of the things that you and I should take away from this is that there is a great need in a place like Africa, and people are ready to respond to Christ if people are willing to go and be there. So I'm really glad. I feel very fortunate, very blessed that that I got to meet this young lady just a couple of weeks ago. This is someone that I didn't know anything about. I didn't know about your story, didn't know about that you were going, and you show up at a place that that I'm at all the time. And God just does some, he arranges some things for us to respond and say yes. So we're going to do a couple things this morning as we close. We're going to take a love offering for Kelly. Now, if you came prepared to give, that is great. If you didn't know this was going on, and which probably many of you did not, and you want to give, but maybe you have to go home and talk to somebody, that is fine. She's not leaving until October, so we have some weeks there. If you want to bring a check next week, just write Kelly Ambrose in the memo or put it on the envelope that you put the cash in or however, and we will make sure that that gets to Kelly. We're going to do that in just a moment, but first, I'm going to have you come down here, and we're going to lay hands on Kelly and just ask God to bless everything from her travel, the final fundraising, and the work that she's going to do while she's there. So I want to invite you guys to come forward. We're just going to lay hands on Kelly. And I know this is like the first time that you're ever seeing this young lady. She is one of our sisters in Christ. So it is a tremendous privilege to be able to share what is going on in our lives and know that God has dominion over everything that we do and say. He's arranging our steps. So, Kelly, I'm just going to anoint you with this oil. And this oil, like we always say, this oil is not magical or supernatural on its own. It simply represents the presence of Christ. And we're just going to ask that God does some spectacular things with you in the last month or so that you're here and everything from the travel and the work that you're going to be doing there. Father God, we're so very grateful to know one of the people that are saying yes to you. To know that Kelly has responded through some interesting, difficult, problematic circumstances, and yet her heart has remained soft enough to hear your gentle whisper to say go, and that she's been willing to say yes. So God, we thank you for that. We ask God that you would use what the stories that we have heard today and the life that Kelly has demonstrated before us to spur us on to continue to say yes to you. But specifically, God, we want to ask that you'll be with Kelly in everything that she does. All of the places that she is going between now and when she leaves, as she's speaking at other churches, we pray that there will be great generosity there and that every financial need that she has would be met. Yeah. We also ask God for overwhelming safety as the trip comes to a head and she travels over to Africa. And we just ask God that you would bless every step of her journey, yeah. That she would be in right places at right times and meet the correct people that will continue to further the work that she's going to be a part of. We just ask God that great things would happen because of her willingness to go to a place she's never been, to work with people that she's never met before. That you would squelch any fear or anxiety or uncertainty, knowing that this is precisely what she is supposed to do. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to partner with her, to join her in prayer and support. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do in the